This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie-Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. Sky. Imagine all the people living for today.
Well, hello, all you hellbound atheists and agnostics and skeptics and humanists. I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist. If there is a judgment day, if there is a day of reckoning, well, at least we are enjoying the ride, aren't we? Living a humanistic, secular free thought life is a wonderful life. You probably noticed that this is the first time in almost 5 years that our show has not started with Annie-Laurie Gaylor welcoming all of you to the show. She is sick this week, and she's paying me back because last week, I was the one who was sick. I was in the hospital for an emergency kidney stone surgery, which, by the way, didn't work. And I have to go back in next week to try again, thanks to the great, wonderful design of the intelligent designer. And Annie-Laurie, I just saw her a few minutes ago. She can't talk. Some kind of a bronchial or, I don't know, something in her chest, and it's really making her weak. And she loves to do the show, but there's no way you would even, I couldn't even understand what she was saying today. So let's all not join hands. Let's all not bow our heads. Let's all not pray for Annie-Laurie's speedy recovery, just as you did with me. And by the way, thank you. Some of you sent some nice emails and phone calls wishing me a speedy recovery. My situation is not life-threatening. It's just a kind of mechanical thing that's happening. And Annie-Laurie will be back with us. This is, by the way, the first show in an unbroken string of about 245 weeks that Annie-Laurie has not missed being on a single one. I missed, what, three or four in the past?
It's happened, yeah.
And
traveling around the country, traveling, doing speaking tours.
And this,
but
is,
there's always a co-host that Annie-Laurie would line up. And now, two times in a row.
Yeah. So Brian, this is Brian Tarani, our producer and engineer. So we have an all-guy show today, don't we? So are we going to talk about football or what? Are we going to talk about
atheists on the pitch? And,
what atheist guys talk about?
Yeah.
Well, Free Thought Radio is the name of the show. It's the weekly broadcast of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. The show is broadcasting in Madison, Wisconsin. We're also airing in several other cities across the nation. And, of course, we're podcasting all over the natural cosmos. And Scott, our webmaster, told me that we're very close to 3 million downloads of our podcast.
Wow.
Which is pretty amazing. Of course, divided by 245, but still, that's many tens of thousands of people listening. So thank you for listening. The Freedom From Religion Foundation, as most of you listeners know, is America's largest organization of free thinkers. That's atheists and agnostics and secular humanists and whatever we call ourselves. We don't care what we call ourselves. We all disbelieve in the same God. We work to keep religion and government separate. We work to educate the public about the views of those of us who are none of the above, the nuns, the non-believers, which, by the way, is currently our country's fastest growing, quote-unquote, religious group. So welcome to Free Thought Radio. Last week when I was sick, Annie-Laurie told me she tried to tell a joke and it didn't work. And she said, Dan, can you retell the joke so that it's done right? She's good at a lot of things, but jokes are not one of them. The joke was that, let's just say it was me. I was in surgery getting general anesthetics. And the anesthesiologist comes up to me and says, okay, Dan, I want you to close your eyes and start counting backwards from $1,000.
Ba-dum-bump.
Ba-dum-bump-bump. And it's amazing when you go into general. Isn't it amazing? It's like you're just gone for, what, hours, and then you wake up, and is that what death is like? Then it's not going to be so bad.
Yeah, that would be so bad.
So today, our guest on the show and the second half of the show will be Daniel Dennett. He's been on before. We've talked about his books, Breaking the Spell, Freedom Evolves, a lot of his work. But today we're going to talk about a study that he and Linda LaScola, whom I just saw, by the way, last week in Washington, D.C. and talked about this, a study they did about clergy, ministers and priests who are non-believers. They are atheists or agnostics, but they're still in the pulpit. There was a study released last year, and we're going to talk with Daniel Dennett about that issue on the second half of our show, so be sure to listen to that. We have a new chapter in North Carolina. It's the Triangle Free Thought Society, and we had an actuality we wanted to run last December, but we didn't have time for it, about a foundation billboard that went up in that area. So Mark Zumbach is the president of that group. Let's listen to a little bit of a news story about the Freedom From Religion Foundation's billboard that went up in the North Carolina area. It's the Reasons Greetings Triangle.
Instead of the traditional season's greetings, look closely. This billboard says Reasons Greetings.
Promote the value of reason. We as free thinkers believe that reason as a concept is very important. We believe in value of free inquiry, critical thinking, and logic and evidence over authority, dogma, and tradition.
It was put up by the Triangle Freethought Society, a group of area atheists, agnostics, and free thinkers. In addition to sending a happy holiday greeting of their own, the group wants to promote their presence and their beliefs in the Triangle.
The holiday season is for everybody. We all celebrate it in different ways. And for free thinkers, many of us celebrate the winter solstice. Many of us still celebrate Christmas, just without a belief in the mythology behind it.
This billboard went up on December 9th, and group leaders tell me they put it here because of the heavy traffic.
About 2 weeks ago, I thought I read it wrong the first time.
John Bartomag passes the sign every day. If you drive where Capitol Boulevard and Highway 401 North splits in Raleigh, you can't miss it.
The second time I come up and I looked at it and I said, well, it's just the atheists putting out their beliefs, but yet we have our beliefs, and I believe that Christ was born.
While Bartomag doesn't agree with the sign, he believes in freedom of speech. And while the Triangle Freethinkers' message is in writing, Bartomag has his own message.
Stick to the truth. Happy birthday, Jesus.
In Raleigh, Jessica Cervantes, News 14, Carolina.
That's a pretty funny line at the end.
Happy birthday, Jesus. Well, we all know that the real reason for the season was and is the winter solstice. In the month of December, our office, our attorneys have been really busy with complaints, seasonal-type complaints. Rebecca Markert, our staff attorney, told me that there were 49 complaints from members around the country, including nativity scenes, 6 menorahs, 1 cross, and 13 kings. And our attorney sent out 32 letters of complaint and open record requests. Here's some publicity from a complaint that Rebecca sent out in Wabash, Indiana.
Well, the nativity scene is at the center of a Wabash County controversy.
News Channel 15's Alyssa Ivinson is back from a demonstration there earlier today. So, Alyssa, what's the debate?
Well, really, the big question is all about whether or not a nativity scene should be allowed on the courthouse lawn. Christmas is over and the decorations are down, but last month, a life-size nativity scene sat here in the Wabash County courthouse lawn.
The Supreme Court has said you cannot have a nativity scene as the primary focus of a public display on public property, because otherwise that is an endorsement of Christianity.
Someone in Wabash sent a letter to the Freedom From Religion Foundation. That group then sent Wabash Mayor Robert Van Landingham a letter asking the city to take the display down.
I received a letter and it stayed on my desk for a few days till Christmas kind of moved along a little bit. And then after we got down to the tail end of it, well, the time kind of went by and Christmas was by and the angels stayed up.
Today, the Wabash C3, Citizens Committed to the Constitution, held a demonstration. More than 150 people filled the courthouse steps.
Our mission is to preserve the godly principles and values that not only this country, but this county has stood for.
It's our freedom being taken away. Freedom of religion, that's being challenged today by a few, and it's time that people take a stand.
It doesn't really matter how many people complain if it's a violation of the Constitution. That doesn't make it right. The First Amendment is couched in absolute terms. Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion.
The Freedom From Religion Foundation argues people are free to express their religion, just not on public property.
Why do they want to put their religious display on public property? It's very clear. They're claiming the courthouse, they're claiming the county for their quote-unquote conservative Christian values.
Congress opens up with prayer every day, and there's numerous examples that I could give of the freedom of religion, and it's constitutionally protected.
At least for now, the mayor's not making any changes.
Nativity scene's been up here for years, and it should stay as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, sometimes authority is bigger than me, it makes things change, but until that happens, I'd say put the nativity scene back up.
You heard Annie Laurie Gaylor quoted in that news segment in Wabash, Indiana. I'm Dan Barker. Stay tuned for more Free Thought Radio.
This is David Williamson in Sarasota, Florida, and I'm on Free Thought Radio.
As Mark Twain said, faith is believing what you know ain't so. This is Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker, and you've noticed that Annie Laurie Gaylor is not with us today. She's sick. But Brian and I are somehow going to muddle through and get through the show without her. We are the voices, and she's the brain behind Free Thought Radio. We have a very exciting victory to report. You know, our legal staff sends out many letters of complaint around the country. You heard about nativity scenes, but it's also a lot of other things. People contact us, and we were contacted by a parent in New York State. Our attorneys were contacted, complaining that their child was going on a school field trip to New York City, which included visiting a Catholic shrine. And this letter was drafted by Jane Clevin, who's a legal intern at our foundation, and then it was signed by Rebecca Markert, our lead staff attorney, complaining that a secular school should not be visiting a purely religious shrine. The shrine's website explains that the National Shrine of St. Elizabeth Ann Seton welcomes you to explore the life and legacy of Mother Seton at the location that she began a journey that would result in her canonization as the first native-born saint of the United States of America. Our letter goes on to complain, including a stop at a Catholic shrine whose mission is for visitors to enrich spiritually through their pilgrimage to the site where Seton taught, worked, prayed, and died. During a public school trip, it appears to be an impermissible school endorsement and furthering of Catholic doctrine. And then Rebecca and Jane cited a lot of legal precedent, going on to say the school district's decision to include a Catholic shrine in the itinerary gives the message to Catholic participants that they are a favored group in the public school setting. We got a letter from the school district. It's the Alexander Central School District in Alexander, New York. We got just a two-sentence letter from them on January the 10th. Addressed to Rebecca Markert, and here's what the letter said. Dear Ms. Markert, the Alexander School District's Washington trip itinerary that you referred to in your correspondence, dated December 29th, 2010, is tentative, as is indicated on the itinerary. We are continuing to finalize plans for the trip. We have removed a stop at the Seton Shrine from the itinerary. Respectfully, Kathleen Martin, superintendent of the school district. So it pays to complain.
Yeah, you expect it. When you said two-sentence letter back, I expected a thanks, no thanks.
Thanks, but no. Well, that's usually what happens, you know, thanks, but no thanks, or we'll table this, or or they'll fight. But sometimes, and, you know, a couple months ago, we reported on a victory in Tennessee where the superintendent said, hey, yeah, that's right, this isn't constitutional, and they decided to stop the abuse. So it does pay to complain, and if you notice a violation in your area of the separation of state and church, then let us know. We have a number of FAQs on our website, which will help you in planning how to draft a proper complaint. And we can send the letter if you don't want to be identified. So thank you, Rebecca and Jane, for the good work in keeping state and church separate. Now, we're at the point of the show where Annie Laurie was planning to interview me. I have a brand new book that just came out this month, January of 2011. My previous book was Godless, telling my personal story of conversion from minister to atheist, published by Ulysses Press. And Ulysses Press again has published my next book, which is hot off the press. It's called The Good Atheist, Living a Purpose-Filled Life Without God. This is so new that it was just last week that I had my first book signing for this book in Washington, D.C. Wonderful group of people. The Center for Inquiry people, organized by and run by Simon Davis and Melody Hensley. Wonderful, sweet people, hardworking, smart, organized people. We had a packed house there in the Langston Room at this restaurant bookstore called Bus Boys and Poets, a kind of alternative, racially diverse, progressive bookstore, which is pretty exciting, really packed. The Langston Room, of course, named for Langston Hughes. Pictures of Martin Luther King Jr. and different people up on the wall. And I got to do my first book reading there last week on January the 9th. And in fact, I got to read a little poem of Langston Hughes, which was a very skeptical poem about Jesus is dead and I'm the new, and the new man is the new Jesus. So that was pretty exciting.
How often do authors get to read other people's works at their book events? That's an interesting way to go about it, too.
Yeah, that was fun. And especially for this new book of mine, The Good Atheist. And by the way, I have to explain that this was not my original title. This book is about purpose. It's not about morality. So that word good in the title doesn't mean like moral good.
Yeah, we were talking about this before the show that, it's a good book. That was a good movie.
Yeah, that doesn't mean it's morally good. It means it's...
Exactly.
Qualitatively. Like if I say, Brian, you're a good boy, that's different from saying, Brian, you did a good job, right?
Yeah.
So this book is a direct response to Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life. I originally wanted to call this book Life-Driven Purpose because that's what the book is about. And in the book, I explain, and by the way, the foreword was written by Julia Sweeney.
Excellent.
We've had her on the show before. And Julia, of course, the actress and the author and the comedian, and she was best known for Saturday Night Live work and other actors. She wrote a wonderful little foreword in here. In fact, maybe I can just quote a little bit of what she says here.
And she gave a great reading of her forthcoming manuscript at the convention this year.
That's right.
And she's a great
October.
Writer.
Right, she is. And in fact, she's in the book, and I'll explain a little bit here in a second. But since the book talks about purpose, Julia writes, our consciousness is like having been given by evolution a kind of car. To me, it's like a Ferrari that can go really fast and is very powerful. However, the religious are taught that their mind is more like a train car that needs an engine to pull it along. Without the engine at the front of the train, the car is stranded, and off the tracks, it can't go anywhere. But that's not true. Our minds have tremendous power. And she goes on to say how the book influenced her to think about purpose in a different way. So the book is called The Good Atheist, Living a Purpose-Filled Life Without God. And the first section I call Life-Driven Purpose, which answers Rick Warren's claim. And Rick Warren very, very clearly says, let me look it up here. Rick Warren says in his book, without God, life has no purpose. And without purpose, life has no meaning. Without meaning, life has no significance or hope. But apparently Rick Warren hasn't met very many atheists in his life. And if he had, he couldn't say such a thing. I mean, that's like a demeaning thing to say. It's like saying, without white skin, your life is uncouth. Or if you're a Jew, you know, your life is horrible. You can't have any purpose. So why... You know, paint us. Why use atheophobia instead of like homophobia or racism or anti-Semitism? Why paint us as purposeless? The second half of this book includes more than 300 profiles of atheists and agnostics, brief profiles of their life and quotes of theirs.
Wow.
Including Julia Sweeney, including Langston Hughes, including revolutionaries, including artists and actors and scientists and philosophers. Putting a lie to the claim that Rick Warren made that without God you can have no purpose in your life. It's called The Good Atheist. It's available from Ulysses Press, January 2011. I'm Dan Barker. You're listening to Free Thought Radio. Stay tuned for more, including an interview with philosopher-author Daniel Dennett.
My name is Al. I'm from Berwyn, Illinois, and I'm on Free Thought Radio.
Beware of dogma. This is Free Thought Radio.
God is not great. God is not. God is not great.
Not from where I stand.
God is not great.
This 21st century man.
God is not great.
To get irate.
God is not great.
Irate.
God is not great.
God is not great. Not from where I stand. This 21st century man.
And that is the song, God is Not Great. I'm Dan Barker. We're back with Free Thought Radio. And that singer-songwriter is George... Now, I don't know how to pronounce his last name. Do you know how to pronounce it, Brian? It's H-R-A-B. George...
Crab?
Not Crab, but... Anyway, George Crab. And we're going to have to call him and have him on the show on a future show, because that's wonderful. God is Not Great, of course. And on the album cover, there's a picture of some Free Thought literature, including... Christopher Hitchens' book, God is Not Great, which he's referring to here. Christopher Hitchens, of course, known as one of the four horsemen of the new atheism because of the impact his book has had, among other books, including Richard Dawkins and Sam Harris, and a book written by our guest on today's show, Daniel Dennett. Daniel Dennett's book, Breaking the Spell, is part of that I guess, what do we call it, a wave of new atheism. And you know, they will say, and I say, that there's really nothing new about the new atheism, except that atheists are becoming more visible. We're coming out more. We're getting a little more, maybe more confident. So we have on the phone with us from the East Coast, which is currently, at the time of recording, socked in with a blizzard, Professor, author Daniel Dennett. Most of our listeners know Daniel Dennett from his many books, Breaking the Spell, Freedom Evolves, and his work in philosophy. But today we want to talk about a study that Daniel Dennett has been involved in, a long study. In November, ABC News ran a segment about the study, Atheist Ministers Struggle with Leading the Faithful. Atheist ministers, figure that out. Well, it turns out there are ministers in the pulpit who are atheists, either openly or secretly. And Daniel Dennett, along with his colleague Linda LaScola, I think she's a practicing psychologist, came up with the study. So welcome to Free Thought Radio, Daniel.
It's good to be back with you again, Dan.
Good to talk with you. So you just got through shoveling or snow blowing snow today. So
that's right. Yes, wow. It's good exercise.
So tell us about this study, how it started, and I guess it's a sort of preliminary study. Is that right?
Well, what we reported on last year was our preliminary or phase one study, and that's what ABC News and a lot of other news organizations responded to. We had the idea, actually Linda had the idea, that there were not just churchgoers who go to church and devote a lot of time to their churches, even though they don't believe a word of it, but there were no doubt ministers as well, pastors. And we, with, I might add, a lot of help from you, found some brave souls who are willing to be very confidentially interviewed by Linda, in-depth interviews, and then she and I wrote up an account of this, a report, which was published in first on the On Faith website that the Washington Post Newsweek runs, and then in the journal, the e-journal, Evolutionary Psychology. And it has had a lot of response. One of the reasons that we were eager to get it very much out in the public eye on that website, for instance, was that we wanted other people who were in the same predicament to come forward, and they have been doing that. Since we published our first study, we've had quite a few pastors get in touch with us, saying, well, those are very interesting stories. Mine's a little different, and I would love to volunteer to be interviewed in phase two. So we're just getting underway with phase two now. We've had a problem raising the funds for it, but we're just getting underway. We may have to keep it very small because of the fundraising problem.
Well, let's all not bow our heads and not pray that the funds will come in for a bigger study. And you're right, all the stories are different, and just like you, I hear from these people all the time, including not just Protestant ministers and Roman Catholic priests, but rabbis, and I even got a phone call from an imam, a former imam who's now an atheist and agnostic.
Yes. It takes real courage for an imam to participate in this, or even to admit it to himself at all.
Yeah.
But it also takes courage for a Baptist or a Methodist to, or other or fundamentalist to acknowledge it. But we certainly have them as well. I was just thinking today, if the main reason these people hang on, I think, or one of the main reasons, is that they've invested their whole life in this, and this is the only thing they know how to do, and they got to feed their families. And it occurred to me that if seminaries made it a rule that when you studied for ordination, you also had to study to be, an actuary or a real estate agent or something like that, so that you had a fallback career, you were equipped to do something, probably the ranks of the clergy would be depleted at a huge rate.
Well, that's why the generals tell the soldiers to burn the bridges, right? So they can't retreat. Now, like you, I hear from a lot of these people, and I just sent out a request to some people that I've heard from over the years, a minister from 2 years ago who I thought was out by now. But I just got an email from him this week saying, don't tell anybody, but I'm still in the pulpit. I don't know how to get out. He's going to retire in a couple of years, and he's thinking maybe just retiring will do it, you know. But just like you say, how does he tell his family? What is his prestige? And by the way, he's not a liberal. He's not from a liberal congregation, which you would expect, but from a real conservative, evangelical type of church. And he's still preaching and hating himself for it. Well, you can hear the music. We got to take a break. That's Scott Joplin, by the way, who was a free thinker who wrote all those rags. I'm Dan Barker. You're listening to Free Thought Radio, and we're speaking with Daniel Dennett, philosopher, author, and one of the co-authors of this new study about atheist ministers. Stay tuned for more of Free Thought Radio.
Amanda from Des Moines, Iowa. I get all my books from FFRF, and I'm on Free Thought Radio.
Protect the First Amendment. It protects you. This is Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker with our final segment of Free Thought Radio for this week. And as you noticed, Annie Laurie Gaylor is sick today, some kind of bronchial something. She can't even whisper, so she's sorry she has to miss the show. But we're sure that with good medical care and no superstitions, she will be back with us again next week. We are talking on the phone with philosopher and author Daniel C. Dennett, whom listeners of this show know and love for all the works he's done in philosophy and a scientifically informed philosophy. And then, of course, his breaking book, Breaking the Spell. And we're talking about his study about atheist ministers. And Daniel, before we continue with this, tell us a little bit about Linda LaScola. I got to talk with her last week in D.C. when I did the book signing for my new book. And what a smart and sweet woman. And she was she like the impetus behind this project?
Oh, she really was. She approached me with the idea of the study. I had mentioned that when I was informally researching for Breaking the Spell, I wanted to talk in confidence to people who were deeply religious to find out just how they thought. And I rounded up some confidential interviewees and was astounded to find that many of them said, oh, I don't believe any of that stuff. That's not why I'm in the church. That's not what I'm doing. And so the question then was raised, well, there are probably pastors that are in that role too. And of course there are. And in a way you can be sure that there are, because every year a lot of pastors leave the ministry. They can't stand it anymore. They can't do it anymore. And they abandon their pulpits. And how long before they abandon the pulpit? How long do you languish out there fretting and worrying and trying to convince yourself that this is okay to do? Nobody knows, I think.
Well, it took me 4 or 5 months. I was a hypocrite for about 4.5 months, I guess. I knew I was an atheist in the summer, but I had a calendar, you know, and I still... It was horrible. It was this integrity clash, you know, and I was up saying these things I no longer believed. And you know what? The audience was still responding the same old way. A woman came up to me and she said, "Reverend Barker, I felt the Spirit of God on your ministry." And I'm thinking, you did? You know, because I knew I knew it was phony. But I want to say that when I was talking with Linda last week, that she might seem to think that all of us clergy were phonies and were not sincere. But I know that's true of those who were seminary educated and more liberal. But I was a true believer, and there's a lot of ministers in the pulpit who they're deluded. They're seriously deluded, but they're not insincere about it. They're not totally hypocritical. But some of us came to a point where we realized, wait, something has to give. It's either truth or God, and I got to pick one of those two. Yep. So
no. First of all, I think Linda is the ideal interlocutor. First of all, she has been interested in religion and for years and years, and has often gone to church, so she's a good Sunday school student. She knows the liturgy. She knows her psalms and her hymns, and so she is a well informed questioner, and she's just brilliant at earning and getting the trust of her informants,
yeah.
And then probing them gently but firmly, and getting them to say things that they've never said before to anybody. One of the most moving things about her work is when some of these pastors say, "Well, you know, I've never talked about this with anybody, not with my wife, not with anybody." And so it's a great relief to have such a understanding and non-judgmental interlocutor.
So what are the some?
I just hope we can keep going with this, but right now it looks like we're going to have to sort of start winding down unless we find a major source of funding to continue.
Can secular people use the word angel? I guess maybe.
Yeah, sure. if Broadway can, we can.
With a lowercase.
Yeah, we're looking for an angel.
Lowercase a. Well, I hope we can continue with the study, and maybe I can help find some more of the participants or maybe even some of the support for it. Of course, they're all different, as you say, but what do you think are some of the – we only have about 2 minutes left, but what are some of the conclusions or findings that have come out of the study that you're building on so far?
Well, we don't have a big enough sample to draw any you know, statistically significant conclusions beyond the obvious that there's a wide variety. And it seems from our small sample that those who have grown up with a very literal and sort of conservative faith, it's harder for them. It's more of a shock. I think you attested to that yourself. If you're United Church of Christ or a Unitarian to begin with or an Episcopalian, it's much, much easier. That doesn't necessarily mean better, but the transition is gentler, and there's even a sort of tradition, as there is in liberal Judaism, of you know, quasi atheistic pastors.
Yeah, I know lots of them. Yeah,
yeah.
Well, but still, it boils down to what are you going to do? Where are you going to find a job? Who's going to hire somebody with a divinity degree? How are you going to support your family? Are you going to keep your pension after all those years? Things, practical
yeah.
things like that. That
yeah.
Well, you know, this one participant that you and I both know pretty well now, by his pseudonym, Adam,
yes.
That's what's holding him back. What's he going to do? How is he going to explain
Absolutely.
To his family? Who's going to hire someone like that? And, well, it's too early to talk about it, but you and I and Linda and others are coming up with a possible future program to help some of these clergy transition out. But we'll talk about that.
Yes, I am so pleased that this is in the planning stages, and I really look forward to being able to open this up and get some volunteers. It's a wonderful idea.
Well, let's not announce it yet because it's just preliminary, but we will we will have a show about that, and maybe we'll have Linda on to talk about it in greater depth. So.
I think that would be very good.
So
meanwhile, I've been working on, you know, what should replace religion?
Yeah.
That is, what sort of organizations? People want community. They want moral teamwork.
Well, I got the answer. Just jazz music and Scott Joplin. There you go.
Well, music is, of course, a great part of it. And a friend of mine, a composer and music industry genius out in California, Brian Felson, has been writing secular gospel music.
Secular. Well, we're out
wonderful.
Of, we're out of time, Daniel.
Gospel songs.
Well, we'll have to talk to him maybe on a future show, secular gospels. Thank you, Daniel Dennett, author of Breaking the Spell.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's good to talk with you as always, Dan. Keep up the good work.
And we'll have you back on again later. We also thank Brian Tarani. Thanks for co-hosting this time. And our announcer, Buzz Kemper. Go to ffrf.org/radio to hear this show archived in podcast. Ask for more information at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. 335-4021. Check us out at our website. Tune in next week for more Rational Radio and Blasphemous Broadcasting.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.